This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Great. There's some seats available here in front. If some of you want to come and sit here in front, just welcome again to everyone that's here on holiday. How many of you are here in Hermanus on holiday? Just raise your hands. Oh, your special welcome. We trust them. You'll enjoy this time. Greetings from Pastor Andres and Lisa. They're not here this morning, but they are the pastors here and just great people. This is a great church to come and visit if you're on holiday. Just turn to a neighbor next to you and say, hey, why are you smiling like that? That smile on your face, I recognize it. And sometimes when we come to church, we are a bit sober. And it gives me opportunity to go to the scriptures. My name is Sias, and I'm part of the Shofar Stellenbosch congregation. So this morning, we're actually two congregations. We have a family congregation in the congregation in the morning, which is about 400 people. And the evening, we have 1,000 students. So I'm going to preach to you this morning like I'm preaching to the students. Is that okay? Okay, so if you don't say amen or say hallelujah, then the service will continue. Okay, it's going to go longer and longer and longer. Lock the doors. Okay, lekker. Great. I had the privilege this year. There was actually, and I'm going to start with this story. Let me first pray. Father, we just thank you that your word gives life and is eternal, that your word, Lord, is incorruptible, and it remains. It's a light and a lamp unto our feet. And this morning, Lord, even in this time of resting and busyness for some of us, Lord, we want to thank you that your word doesn't change, and you have never changed. You are the only, Lord, rock of our salvation. Jesus, you're the rock on which we stand, and this morning we want to thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we're not here to be entertained. We're not here, Lord, to just do a little thing for you, Lord, but you have invited us to know your heart through your word and through your spirit. And we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here as the guest of honor this morning, that you make hardened hearts soft, that you open our eyes to see afresh who Jesus is. We want to thank you, Lord, for holy ground that we're standing on and sitting on this morning. And Lord, that this morning many hearts will turn back to you, because only you can do that. Stern, hardened hearts, bring people back to their first love this morning. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I had the privilege to go with Johnny, Danny DeLes, this year to the Ukraine. You know, it's amazing when you go to the church that are in different parts of the world. For many people, like I've been to the nation of Iran a couple of times, and there a church service would be 7 hours. So I'm going to make sure you're awake. Not 7 hours, but the amazing thing is there's such a hunger, a great hunger for the Word of God. And yet when we come to the church in the West, we've almost fallen into a massive trap of consumerism. We come to church sometimes because we want to be entertained. We want to say, oh, you know, that short man, I don't like his sermons, but the other guy, I like his sermons, or that worship, or that. But we don't come to church to be entertained. We come to church to meet with the living God. Amen. And that means that you and I must open up our hearts and say, okay, Lord, even when your thoughts and your ways are higher than ours, I want to be part of that. But we cannot take God and bring him into our culture and then say, okay, Lord, you're just a Sunday God or a Wednesday God. God is God. He's Lord at everything and over all. And the amazing thing is what is happening in the world is God is moving in nations like crazy, you know. In a nation like Iran, the fastest growing church in the world, there's no fancy names, no fancy people. It's just masses and masses of people. Most of the churches there are led by women. And most of them, if you would get caught, you would probably die. And I remember there was one lady we met. We baptized her in a bathtub. She was fasting for 21 days for the privilege to get baptized. And I remember as we were sitting, we were sort of at a lock-in for a couple of days. I think it was 8 days where we couldn't leave the house. And then the believers would come into the house. And for hours, many of them would just sit there and worship with us. And this lady who got baptized, she didn't understand a word of English. But just to be in the presence of God with other believers was the most privileged thing she could be part of. And so my challenge this morning is, are we following a consumer Western culture God, or is He Lord of your life? Okay? When He's Lord of your life, it means everything. And there's a scripture, probably one of the most favorite scripture next to the other couple of hundreds in scripture that I love to read. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And it's after the chapter on faith, which is Hebrews chapter 11. The chapter on faith talks about Noah and Abram. And in the middle of that chapter, there's this crazy part. It actually talks about the fact that some people, most of them that lived by faith, never saw the promise God gave them in fulfillment in the natural. But they saw, they embraced, they took ownership of what God said, and they lived for a heavenly country. They realized that they're just passing through. This is not our world. If you're a Christian here this morning, this is not your home. You know? I read somebody, I can't remember who quoted it, but they said the greatest moment was not when man stepped onto the moon, but when Jesus stepped onto the earth. The greatest moment when God decided to come in the form of man, to come and serve us, to tell us what He is like. And so Hebrews chapter 12, after we've read about faith, it starts Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then in verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, Angus always says, you know, if your faith doesn't cost you something, it's worth nothing. You know, faith isn't an entertainment. Faith will take you to places where you are challenged. And so here in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, all of us, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You have a race, I have a race that you have to run. And when you run this race, it says you can run in different ways. You can run with a lot of weights on you. That's the cares of this world, the things, maybe your finances, maybe family. Or you can run with it just like with these fancy tackies. Have you seen these fancy tackies? They weigh like 10 milligrams probably, and then people just run with them, you know. But you don't run with the boots, gum boots. Do you know gum boots? Okay. You know, you don't run. You have never seen an athlete, Usain Bolt, or anybody run with some gumboots. But some of us run life with gumboots on. Some of us run it with so much weight, and God wants to take away that weight this morning. That's why Jesus came. And so He says, when you run, lay aside the weights. But there's a second thing also, the sin which ensnares, which traps you. It's like a spider web. We get caught in sin, in pornography, in things that catches us, it holds us, to be able to run the race. You see, I always thought, I grew up in a very traditional type of way of thinking, just across the mountain. Yeah, I grew up on a farm. And I thought God is this spoil sport. He's this old man with a stick up there that just wants to like, hey, now you're right, now you're wrong, now you're making it. And then I thought like, maybe one day you're going to make it to heaven. Have you seen Moses come to heaven? You know, I thought like, there's a finish line, and we're going to maybe sometimes make it. But this is the picture I had, like, oh, you know, just dragging yourself over the finish line and say, hallelujah, Lord. Here I am. I finally made it. Praise the Lord. Hermanus cleaned their carpet last week. Okay. It's like crazy, you know. Some people think that we just need to be good and if I can just make it to heaven. But there's a crowd of witnesses that are saying, hey, we've gone before you. What race are you running? Where are you going? What is your faith costing you? What is your faith worth? But the weights, the sins ensnare us. But he says, as you run, this isn't just a walk in the park. This isn't, you have to have a specific focus. You have to look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. And who is this Jesus? The author and the finisher of your faith. The author of the book of your life. Isn't that amazing? Somebody wrote a book about your life. His name is Jesus. Start reading that book. Start finding out what is the meaning of that book. There's chapters in those books. Some of you must close some chapters. Some of you must open some new chapters. Maybe you're here in a new season in your life. There's lots of different chapters, but there's an author and a finisher of your faith. Isn't it amazing? You know, they imagine you have this amazing picture on the wall, this 10 million rand artist drawing, and you come there with your little brush and say like, no, I don't like this guy's beard, you know? And then you like splash on there and you like, or you go to the Mona Lisa or a big like somewhere in Italy and you want to go and change, you know, Da Vinci's picture or portrait. You cannot add anything to a finished work. Jesus finished the work. He said, it is finished. Okay? And that's the invitation that he has for each one of us this morning. That's why I came to this earth, so that you and I can run this race. He says, looking as we're running to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. What was that joy? The joy was you and me sitting here this morning. The joy was the redemption of mankind. The joy was the freedom he bought on the cross. The joy wasn't about the fancy car in the parking lot or the nice house at the sea or where you went on holiday. The joy was the freedom in your and my heart. And there was a joy that was set before him. You know, we get the word for the excruciating pain out of X, out of the cross. Jesus bore all of that so that you and I can have life. He's not a baby in a manger anymore. Amen. The consumer culture wants to say that to us today. Just do your little thing. He's this little baby. No, he's king. He's today sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's where we look to. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He despised this shame. Do you know what is shame? Shame is different than guilt. Shame means I am a mistake. If somebody shames you, they shame you in your identity. If you're guilty, it means I've done wrong. Shame means I am wrong. There's something wrong with me. And there's a lot of people in this world that live broken lives and live with great fear, with great labels on their lives because they've been shamed. Jesus took away our shame. Can I get an amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I still like that smile on your face. We are almost going. We're busy with the first of 20 slides. Okay, so hang in there. But we'll probably stop after the first one. Okay, so how did you run? How should you run? Don't compete with somebody next to you. It's not a race against other people. It's not a race against the church around on the street. You're running a race. My question this morning is, how are you doing in that race? Maybe you've grown discouraged. Maybe you've stopped running that race. But we sang it this morning, there's joy to the world. And that joy doesn't mean it's equal to happiness. Because happiness means I have a happening in my life. You know, I psych myself up and, oh, that was great. That's a great bunch of people. That's a happening. But joy is a deep, deep sense of hope and peace. Joy comes from, doesn't matter what you have or you don't have. Joy comes because you know God. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. So a lot of people today, and I want to just encourage you, don't switch the Lord off during your holiday time. A lot of people say, I want to go and rest, but your worries will come with you. Your weights will come with you. You'll go back to Gauteng and you will still be afraid. Give those things to Jesus. Give it to him. Hand it over to him. Despising the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he says again, the writer says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." So what discourages us is when we compete with others, or when we allow that shame or that guilt or that stuff to take a hold of us. You know, can I tell you a story? Raise your hand if I can tell you a story. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, there's lots of stories coming. Okay, so this year, I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord. I got born again at school in 1989, on the 4th of April, 1989. I thought I knew Jesus, grew up very religiously, and there was a teacher that lived passionately for God. And I walked into his room. I said, "Mr. Smith, the Jesus that you serve and the Jesus that I serve is not the same Jesus. I want to know that Jesus, the one who's alive, the one who you pray to, the one who you worship." Because I remember for 6 months, I would look through the window and just check him out, because I thought, like, you can't be so full of joy while stuff is going wrong in your life and you still are just satisfied with God. I couldn't believe that. But for 6 months, I thought, like, I'll catch you out. Some other time, I'm going to catch you out. And then I realized, like, no, this is the real deal. The only problem was the Jesus that I served was a Jesus of my own making. It was a religious Jesus. It was one with a lot of rules. Was one with, like, am I good or am I bad? And I try to be a good person. But I've got news for you. Stop trying to be good. And don't be in between. If you want to sin, go and do it 100%. But if you want to follow God, do it 100%. There's no in between. Amen. Don't waste your life with dead religion. Go fully for God and you will be fulfilled. But on that 4th of April, 1989, I walked into that teacher's office and I said, "Mr. Smith, the Jesus that you serve and the Jesus that I serve is not the same Jesus. I want to know that Jesus." And since that day, 30 years ago, whoa, I couldn't speak properly. And somebody walked into my life, this teacher specifically, and he started to tell people and said, "But you know, one day you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to speak in front of other people." But I couldn't speak even in front of one person because I stuttered a little bit and couldn't speak properly. So I started to laugh. I thought, this is the biggest joke around, you know. He said, "One day you're going to speak in front of people. You're going to tell people who Jesus is. And the second thing is you're going to go to other nations and you're going to tell them about Jesus." I thought, it's the biggest joke on the earth, you know. Today, 30 years later, God, every word God said has come to pass. I've been in over 60 nations preaching the gospel. Amen? All glory to Him. But you know, if God says something over your life, it is the truth. God cannot lie. Did you know that? The world will lie to you. So family members will sometimes lie to you, but God cannot lie. So I remember, this is not the story. I'm still getting into the story. I'm warming up, okay? Thank you for your enthusiasm. So after I got saved, I read this little book on a revival in Indonesia, in Papua, 30 years ago. So I read it, and I remember there was this book. Has any one of you read that book, Mel Torre, Like a Mighty Rushing Wind? Some of you would have read that book. So I was intrigued. I thought, like, wow, Lord, this is amazing. So I read the stories there, and I said, "Lord, one day, if you would grant by your grace, I want to go there where this book was written, where this revival happened." And by the Lord's grace, June this year, we went to Papua. And we went to visit some of the places, some of the churches that started out of that revival. Most crazy stories. One of these stories was of how they would come and revival would start just spontaneously. People that were hungry for God. People that gave everything for God. So one night in the church, they had church service every night. Every night, okay? Every night, church, hallelujah. But not because they had to, because they wanted to. And so one time in this little town that we were in, they were in this big community hall. And then people around in the community looked at the hall and they realized that there's a lot of people inside, but the hall is catching fire. So the whole community came running out with their water buckets. And they tried to throw it over the church or this community building where the church people were in, that was, according to them, going to burn to death. But as they threw water over the building, they realized like the fire isn't quenched and it isn't a natural fire. It's because the people inside are praying. And the whole night they tried. Eventually the whole community came to salvation, got born again, because they realized like, wow, God is real. You know? And some of these friends in Indonesia, even till today, I always joke with that, with the one pastor friend that I know there. He says, like every Friday night when they have a prayer meeting, the building shakes. But they don't even recognize it anymore. Because they're focusing on Jesus. Whoa. Yeah? We in the West, when the building shakes, half of us would run away. Think like, oh, the foundation isn't good enough. You know, what if it falls? The other half would try to write a book on it about their experience, you know? So sometimes we label stuff as abnormal, which is very normal in Scripture. And my question to you this morning is, how big is your God? How big is God? You know, when David ran against Goliath, he picked up 3 stones. Not just for Goliath, but for his brothers as well. Did you know that? But when David ran against Goliath, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord Shabaoth, the Lord of the hosts of the armies of heaven. He wasn't looking at Goliath. He was looking at how big God was over his Goliath. So maybe you're facing a lot of Goliaths here this morning. Maybe you're challenged by health issues or things in your life. I want to tell you, God is huge. How big is your God? How big is your God? Is it the God of Scripture or is it the God of culture? If it's the God of culture, make him Lord of your life. The word Lord is curious, which means owner, master, the one who possesses my life. I'm still busy with the story, the first story, okay? I can tell 20 stories. So here we are at this place that we prayed for in Indonesia. And so the amazing thing is now we're going for an outreach service the Friday night. A lot of people are gathering. And as we're walking into the service, the Holy Spirit says, tonight you need to pray because there's a lot of witchcraft. And especially for the interpreter. So we're praying. And the moment when I wanted to start preaching, the next moment the interpreter cannot say a word. She's like, no, the first thing that happened, she was completely deaf. She couldn't hear a word. So now in the middle, we lay hands on the interpreter, a lady, we pray over her, and suddenly she can hear again. Halfway through, suddenly, khona machantas. She cannot speak properly. Now she starts to gag, you know, and we start to pray over her. Because witchcraft is such a reality in many of these nations. Okay, if you go up into Africa, same thing. So the idols there are clearly seen. And so it's amazing, after we just prayed, because God was faithful about the word that he spoke over that evening. And we could take authority and pray and say, no, we cancel this in Jesus' name. Maybe you don't know that there's a spiritual world, but there's a spiritual world that's very alive. Okay? And you need to learn how to take authority over it. You need to learn to walk in your identity as a Christian. Can I get an amen? Okay? The challenge in the West is just, in the West, our idols are just so much bigger, but they're not temples like we have in India. You know, in India, Nepal, many times, I remember one day we prayed in Nepal in the heart of the Ganges in the north of the mountains, and then the place started to shake. You know, so there it's a reality on the outside. The challenge in the West for us in the West is the idols are just as big, but they're in our hearts. The weights, the fear, the anxiety, the depression is huge today. But they're secret things because we're busy. We're very busy. We're busy with a lot of things. And it's difficult for us to look unto Jesus. Now, I have the privilege to work with a lot of students. And let me tell you one thing, parents and grandparents especially. One thing you need to know about working with young people. They can see if something is fake. They may look very, very all over the place. But young people today want to know one thing. They want to know if Jesus is real. They want to know if you are real. Don't say the one thing and live another thing. Don't be fake. Die Afrikaans sê, moenie skynheilig wees nie. Huh? Don't be a hypocrite. You know, there are only two people that God resisted. Jesus loved the sinners. Jesus spent time with the tax collectors. But there are only two people, the proud fool and the hypocrites. Jesus could not stand them because they held so many other people out of the kingdom. And a hypocrite, there was actually a word for hypocrisy in the day of Jesus, skynheiligheid. We use the same word, actor. Somebody is an actor. On stage, I'm this. But at home, I'm this. Don't be an actor in the kingdom of God. God is moving. And God is inviting you and I to come and run that race. Yeah, but that's not a Christmas message you are bringing. No, I'm just bringing you the gospel this morning. Amen. Because many people today don't even know what the gospel is anymore. And I'm not talking about tradition or charismatic churches. There's a lot of people that jump up and down and clap their hands, but they're coming for entertainment. Sorry, there's no entertainment in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God starts with the invitation. Come and die. That's the invitation. Not come and be entertained. Turn to your neighbor and say, come and die. Just say it with a somber. You have an invitation to death. No, but we want to tell people, hey, Jesus has a wonderful plan for your life. No, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat dies, falls into the ground, it will not produce life. If you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. Take your finger quickly. Okay, we're going to end now. Okay, so we're almost there. Okay, I'm almost finished with the first slide. Okay. Okay, take your finger, turn it straight to yourself, and say, "You are your worst enemy." Okay. But say it with passion. Say it with passion. Okay. You can't trust yourself. Okay, then you take your finger like this, say, trust him, okay? They say, what does it mean when a preacher starts looking at his watch? Nothing. Okay, but in any case, okay, so. You can say it in Chinese as well. Nothing or whatever, but so. My last point, and then we're going to pray for people, but I want to encourage you because the writer there says that unless you become discouraged, unless you become weary, a lot of people become weary because they look at the wrong thing. They look at the pastor or the church. They look at the when we 30 years ago, but I want to say today his mercy is on you. Today there's an invitation. This coming year there's an invitation for you to walk by faith and not by sight. But something is going to need to die inside of you when you pursue God. But you know that the death isn't because it's a funeral. It's an invitation to life. But that's the upside down kingdom, isn't it, like that? To live, you must first die. The world says live first and maybe die later. The King of Kings says, come and die so that you can live. Come and be part of the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Come and be part of a fulfilled life that will, where you can, will never, never be shamed. Never be shamed. David said, I was young and I've grown old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. So, that's a word for some people here. Never seen the righteous forsaken. But the invitation to you and I today is, are we willing to humble ourselves? Because humility, the three big keys to the kingdom is humility, humility, humility. That's great, but I quoted it from somebody else, okay, but I thought it was amazing. Only the humble. Because when you're humble, you're teachable. And when you're humble, you're always growing. You're never arriving. Are you willing to be humble before God today? But some get weary, some get discouraged because we look at the wrong things. And this morning is just the encouragement to all of us. God has given you a measure of faith. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. You have to throw off the weights. You have to repent of the sins as you run the race. But He's already finished the race. That's why we can look to Him. We can look to Him. He's at the finish line. He's finished the work. Turn to your neighbor and say, He's finished the work. And some of us try too hard to add to His finished work of our lives. So where is your heart this morning? What's that thing that are stirring inside of you? What's that thing that makes you like excited? A lot of people say today, I'm not a very passionate person. I don't get very excited. Ah, what did you do at the World Cup final? Kobe! You know, you couldn't even breathe properly. You couldn't even pronounce Sia properly, you know, but hallelujah. See there. There he goes, you know. Wonderful. Don't tell me you're not passionate. We're all passionate about something. But the devil lies to us about being passionate for God. Because somewhere we got hurt. Somewhere somebody tell us, don't trust. And the Bible says, trust the Lord with everything. And lean not on your own understanding. Don't trust yourself, but you can trust God. That's a word for some people here today. You can trust God. Start trusting the Lord. Start asking Him to do inside of you. It's never too late. Last story. Can I end with the last story? Who gives me permission to do that? Otherwise, I'm going to do 5 stories. Okay, hallelujah. You see, when my grandmother, and this is quite a personal story, so it's just between the two of us. Is that all right? Okay, so don't tell anybody else. Just keep it for yourself. But I grew up here across the mountain 15 or 20 years ago, not too long ago. But, you know, in the rural places, sometimes, you know, especially, and I must challenge the Afrikaner people here a little bit, part of my culture as well, is we don't know how to celebrate other people. We like to skinner. You know, when people come to you and say, I don't want to skinder, but I don't want to slander. I don't want to talk about Auntie Jill, but let me just tell you so that you can pray effectively, you know. They must already know, problems, you know. Now, my grandmother used to tell me she only goes to the prayer meeting because then she knows nobody's going to talk about her. Okay, so when she is there, they talk about other people. When she's not there, they talk about her. So that was her motivation to go to the prayer meeting. So she wasn't a very religious person, but I remember she got very sick. But she was very hurtful, and she had a lot of mistrust because my grandfather cheated on her with other women for many years. I only found that out very late in my life. But she became so bitter inside, living on her own, trying to make her own money, just trying to survive through life. The only problem is, even the sickness caught up with her because of the condition of her heart. You know, many people, and I'm going to say something controversial, they're sick not because of the physical stuff, but because of the emotional stuff or the spiritual stuff. And so I remember driving through to the hospital in Caledon, and she was like basically on a deathbed, and I said to her, Oma, I want to pray for you because I know Jesus can heal you. Will you allow me to pray for you? And then the first thing she said was, she said like, I don't really know if I'm good enough for God's love. I've messed up so many things. I said to her, Oma, God loves you. He came to die for you. He showed you how much He loved you before you made a choice. So that's the first thing you need to know. You can trust Him because He's proven His love on a cross. And she said, okay, you can pray for me. So I prayed for her. She got healed out of the hospital in 24 hours. They gave her 24 hours to live. Around 24 hours to 30 hours later, she walked out there healed. Hallelujah. Amen. So God does stuff like that. But Oma did not get healing in her heart. She got healing physically. And then I think it was about 4 years later, drove through again, and this time she couldn't speak because there was a lot of cancer, a lot of stuff in her body. The whole family was there, everyone coming to say goodbye. And I walked into the room, I closed the room, I said to all the family, please go out, I want to talk to Oma again, because I was a witbroodjie, a white bread, a favorite one, okay? Not toast, I was the one, okay? So I had a innings to Oma, and I went to Oma, I said, Oma, this time I'm not going to pray for you, but I want to talk to you about the condition of your heart. I don't know if you're going to live an hour anymore. But the one thing I want to tell you is, will you surrender to Jesus? It's never too late. And she couldn't speak. She couldn't even. And all the family were standing outside. And I said, Oma, do you want to accept Jesus as Lord of your life? Because this life is but a vapor. But the decisions you make on this life will determine eternity. And eternity is real. Heaven is real. You can have a wasted life here, but you can have an eternal place with God. And so Oma nodded her head. And I prayed a simple prayer. Oma, you can't pray after me, but what I want you to do is just nod your head if you agree. Dear Lord Jesus, here's my life. I've messed up. Will you please forgive me? Will you please wash away my sins? Will you make me clean again? And Oma nodded her head. Took her hand, she gripped my hand, and the tears started running down her eyes. And then Oma closed her eyes, and she never opened them again here on this earth. She went straight to be with God, to be with Jesus. So I walked out of the room with my hands lifted like this, and all the family thought, like, he's gone crazy. He's been traumatized. I just thought, like, Lord, it's never too late. It's never too late for you to forgive someone. It's never too late, but you have to look to Jesus. Nobody else can save you. Your family member, your church, your pastor, they can't save you. They didn't die for you. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, it's never too late for God. It's never impossible for God. Maybe you think it is, but it's not. I want to tell you, it's not. God is much bigger than what you are facing. But it's going to cost you something. The modern day gospel says, no, just come to God. He's your personal savior. He just loves you. No, it's going to cost you something. Some of you have stories of great suffering in your life. Some of you have prayers that you prayed for that didn't come through. That doesn't change anything about God. Amen. That doesn't change anything about who He is. But He wants to change your heart, sir. Ladies there at the back, He wants to change your heart. No, I'm not a church person. Been hurt in the church. Doesn't change anything about God, about His plan for your life. Doesn't change anything, sir. Guy there at the back, no, I've got all the excuses. I want to first make my millions. I want to first do that. You don't know how long you're going to live. You have no recipe for that. You can't buy it. You don't know. But there's an invitation. I just feel prompted. One more short story. There was a guy who was 23 years old. Sybrand was his name. And Sybrand was a student at Stellenbosch, and he did his M in potato farming. And Sybrand was engaged, and he was going to get married at the end of the year. I was going to conduct the wedding. And one Friday night, Sybrand Engelbrecht, in the rain, at 10 o'clock, knocked on my door. I opened it up and he was drenched with water. He looked me straight in the eyes and he said to me, Sias, I just want to tell you I love you. I drove 4 hours to tell you that I love you. I don't want anything of you. I just want to tell you I love you. And I said, but don't you want to come inside? He says, no, I drove 4 hours. Just want to be obedient to God. And then he got into the car and he drove off with the bucky, drove off again. 5 days later, Sybrand died. In that Monday, or that Friday, that Saturday, Sybrand sold everything he had and gave it to missions. And I thought, like, wow. You see, you cannot add a day, sir, to your life. You don't know when. No, that day I'm going to make a decision. Today. Today you have to make a decision. Today I have to make a decision. Lord of all, Jesus. So will you stand with me as the band is going to come up and we're going to end. So maybe you're just visiting here. Maybe you maybe you're not used to a church with a band like this. I remember the first time I came into a church, it was still in Paul Assemblies of God. People were raising their hands and I thought, "Oh, Gona. These people slaughter people." You know, because it was weird. I wasn't used to it. There was like this thick curtain at the back. And I thought like the slaughtering altar is at the back of that. Okay, so they actually kill people. And these people brought me here as a sacrifice. Yeah, these people that you hear a lot of people disappear, you know, these days. That's what I thought. I still prayed. I said, "Lord, Jesus, I don't know if I know you, but if you take me alive out of this place, I will follow you for the rest of my life." You know? But today it's not about lifting your hands or lying on the floor. It's not about tradition. Today it's about your heart. Lady, are you right with Jesus? Today, all over the world, a lot of people celebrate consumerism and put Jesus in a little manger. But today we look to Him. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. He reigns supreme. Oh, and He's very patient with us. He's very long-suffering. He's very kind. But today we're talking about your heart and we're talking about my heart. Is He Lord of your life? Not Lord of Sunday. Because you can't say the Saturday Christian and the Sunday Christian must be two people. No, it must be the same person. Is He Lord of your life? And He's inviting you to a fulfilled life where they have peace and joy. There's some people here that are struggling to sleep at night. You can't sleep properly because of the worries and the anxieties that come. You try to run away, but you can't. But run to Him. Look to Him. Look to Him, the author and the finisher of your faith. He's written a book about your life. Isn't it time reading that book? Isn't it time for you to close all the other books that you're trying to write and say, "Okay, Lord, which one did you write?" Starts with reading Scripture. His story. We call it history, but it's His story. The story of a God that loves man, gave Himself for us, came onto the earth to bridge the gap again. So Father, this morning as we are thinking and celebrating and saying blessed and happy and all these things, Lord, we realize that we can say all these things, but it still doesn't mean You've come to occupy the throne of our hearts. But this morning our invitation is again that You will be enthroned among Your people. That You will take up Your rightful place. That You'll be Lord of our lives, Lord. No half measures, no quarter measures. But Lord, we can't do it because we're just trying to be good people. We're just sinners in need of a Savior. And this morning we want to thank You. Joy to the world. The only joy in the world is knowing You. Knowing Jesus. There is no greater thing. Be enthroned upon our lives. If you are here today and your eyes are closed, let's just all close our eyes. Won't you just, if you're comfortable with that, just raise your hands, raise your voice to Him. Say, "Lord, my joy is in You. My joy is in You." Just confess that today again. "Lord, my joy is in Your presence. My joy is in surrendering to You. To make You famous, to make You great. To look to You. Lord, I struggle to look to You. But this morning, I look to You again. Lord, this morning, I don't look to my circumstances, to my family, to the fears behind me, to the unforgiveness in my heart. I look to You because with You all things are possible." We're going to just sing one song. And I'm going to invite you this morning as you're talking to God. if you are here and you have never made a public commitment to Jesus, I'm not going to make it easy for you. I'm going to say, come and die. Come and die to yourself. Come and say to yourself, I've messed up. I need Him. I need Him. Maybe you're here today and you need to make a recommitment in your life to Jesus. You need to say to Him, Lord, I've messed up terribly, but I want a new beginning. I don't want a patched up beginning. I don't want a fixed little thing that will break. You know, you buy these things today, 1 year after the guarantee, no more guarantee, and it breaks. Huh? Doesn't last more than a year. But God's promises last for eternity. So if you are here today and you need to make a recommitment, we're going to sing that song. And during that song, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are. If you want to make Jesus Lord of your life again or for the first time, maybe you're young, maybe you're old. I don't know who you are. Maybe somebody dragged you here this morning. Great place to be, because God has got an appointment with you. I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to come and meet me in front. And we're going to pray a prayer like I prayed with my grandmama the day before she died, the 10 minutes before she died. I'm going to pray that same prayer with you. And He's going to change it. He's going to change you. He's going to change me. So if that's you today, maybe there's one person, maybe there's 100 people. I don't know. Only you know the condition of your heart. But the invitation stands. Don't walk out of that door without making right with God. Without saying to Him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Like Mary did. Yes, Lord. According to Your word. Yes, Lord. Nothing makes sense. But according to Your word, let it be done unto me. I want to be part of Your plan. So Father, I thank You this morning for this time. We're going to sing that song. Will you just step out from where you are? And then we're going to drink coffee and all of that stuff. But if God is speaking to you, I know He's already speaking to some people. I want you to come. Quickly, if you want to run, I want you to come. Don't postpone. Don't do it next week. Do it today. Do it today. Thank You, Jesus. Can we, Hendrik, sing a worship song? So we're just giving 5 more minutes. Just 5 minutes, then we'll be finished. Father.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.